this was in the summer, was Reb Chaim Brisker's 100th Yahrzeit. I remember when we were in Boston, in 1968, in the summer, it was Reb Chaim's 50th Yahrzeit. So, talking about a span of a half a century, Rav spoke about Reb Chaim. And anyway, in the last Yated, there was an interesting article, a remembrance about Reb Chaim on his 100th Yahrzeit. And the fellow, his name is Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, he recounts that Reb Chaskel Abramsky said that Reb Chaim was the greatest mind in the last 500 years. 500 years. And so somebody queried, he said, yes, to Reb Chaskel, 500 years, it means you're going back. What about the Beis Yosef? What about Kivega? He didn't respond. 500 years. And I remember the Rav, when he'd speak about Reb Chaim, he said, and these were his exact words, Reb Chaim was the greatest mind of his time. And then he paused and then he said, I didn't just say the greatest Talmid Chacham or the greatest Jewish mind of his time. He was the greatest mind of his time. After I saw this quote from Chaskel, I never used to say this story, but Rabbi Ben Zion Shuren told me that this must go back to the 1940s. It was the Rav Shear. But he used to sometimes walk the Rav down on Amsterdam Avenue. And the Rav told him, he said, the Zayde Reb Chaim had him in Havana, rivaled the Vilna Gaon. So, you know, I always thought of the Rav. The Rav, he was really sui generis. There was no one like the Rav in his time. But he was the greatest mind of his time. And he was just talented, aside from this extraordinary intellect, but his capacity for explaining and his commitment to pedagogy and to passing on the Mesorah was just extraordinary. I remember once, the Rav has an article called the Halachic Mind. And it's pretty obscure. So I remember once speaking to your mother, to the Rav's daughter, Dr. Tara Tversky, in her own right, an extraordinary person. I said, you know, this wasn't easy reading. So she told me there was only actually one person who really understood that article. His name was Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. But we smile about that, but actually that was what made that unique, because everything else that the Rav taught or wrote, as you know, as brilliant and profound and eloquent as it was, it was so comprehensible after he said it. When he say a shir, afterwards it's, after he posited the question and so on, he was saying, why did I think about that? It was just his extraordinary capacity to explain. This was Me'ein Reb Chaim. So I want to just in terms of Rabbi Berman's remembrances of the Rav, of what he thought the Rav's apartment would have looked like, you know, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. You know, he said it was lined with many svarim and so on. I would have thought of that. Actually, the probably had only been when he was learning late at night that time. Not just there wasn't a wardrobe. He was only looking at two svarim. It was the Gemara, the Shas, which had the Rif and the Ramban, his favorite Rishon, and the Balamor in the back, and the Rambam. And that was also tradition from Reb Chaim, the Rambam. So I wanted to speak a little bit about, because this is also, we're remembering or celebrating the completion of Chumash, but it's also, this is the completion of Sefer Devarim, which I want to just reiterate was so brilliantly done with tremendous energy by Dr. Arnold Lustiger, just extraordinary. And the team at the OU that had been working on it, Rabbi Eliyahu Krukowski, also Mishpacha to the Rav, Simon Posner, Yocheved you know, Chevet Goldberg, Deborah Bree. So they deserve extraordinary credit, and I want to thank once again Steve Newirth and Natalie Newirth for the support of this important project. So the Sefer Dvarim is called Mishneh Torah. So I want to speak a little bit about the Rambam's name. Why did the Rambam call his magnum opus Mishneh Torah? So actually, I think there are several reasons. One, the Rambam tells us why explicitly. The others are only implied. Now, the Rambam, the Mishneh Torah, was in itself an extraordinary, audacious work. It was, first of all, the Rambam, it incorporates all of the halachas of the Torah, not only those that applied in his time, even those that no longer apply, but will once again apply, all the halachas of the Korbanos, of Sanhedrin, halachas of Mitzvot Tluyos Ba'aretz, which didn't apply where the Rambam lived, and the Shulchan Aruch, we know, who used the Rambam as an important source, probably the most important source. The Shulchan Aruch based, and generally his halachas based on three Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. But he's usually following the Psak of the Rambam. Often, when it coincides with the Rambam, will actually use the Rambam's lashon, the Rambam's actual language. But he doesn't. He only uses those halachas that are applicable, or currently applicable. And it's a completely different organization of the halachas. So why did the Rambam call it Mishneh Torah? So the Rambam's given reason is that he called it Mishneh Torah. I mean, this again shows how audacious the work is that he called it Mishneh Torah because Mishneh means the second, as this was sort of the companion volume to Tanakh. If you had Chof Dalet Svarim, the Rambam says this in his introduction, plus his work, so you have the entire corpus, in a sense, of the Torah Shebiksav, and the codification of the Torah Shebi'al Peh. The Rav suggested once that it was such an audacious title, after Mishneh Torah is what we call, Chazal calls Sefer Devarim, that's why it came in our common parlance. We don't call it Mishneh Torah, we call it Yad HaChazaka. But the Rambam called it Mishneh Torah. So that was the reason the Rambam suggests why he called it that. And the Rav thought that sometimes comes into play in halachas. I'll just give you one example. The Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, begins and tells us the entire history and story of the miracle of Chanukah. In the time of Bayasheni and so on, the story of the Yevanim. But in Hilchas Purim, Hilchas Megillah, the Rambam just says, V'hadvom yeduim shehita konus ha-nevirim. It's well known that this was established by the Nevi'im. He doesn't tell us the history of Purim, which he does in Chanukah. So why the Rambam tells us the history, after all, of Chanukah, after all, it's a sefer, the Rambam sefer is a sefer of halacha, is because Chanukah was instituted for Halav Hodor, to praise Hashem and to thank Hashem for the great miracle of Chanukah. You can only praise Hashem if you knew that there was a pending calamity and there was a salvation. So to give Halav Hodor, you have to know the story. Why doesn't the Rambam tell it to us in Hilchas Purim? So the Rav said, he suggested, because that's in the first part. That's in Chelek Aleph, Tanakh. So since that's what the Rambam means, V'adram yedun shehita konus ha-nevim, it's already in scripture. So therefore the Rambam doesn't have to tell you that story. That part you know because you read the first part of these volumes. So that's the Rambam's reason why he calls it Mishneh Torah. I think, though, however, there are several other reasons which I wanted to mention. Another reason is, that the Rambam modeled his effort, the Mishneh Torah, on the Mishnah itself. And the Rambam, I mean, if I were to ask you, you know, everybody has a hero. Who was the Rambam's hero? Do anyone suggest? Who? Well, right, Moshe, but Rehud Anossi. And the Rambam says it. Moshe also, I don't want to put Moshe to the side. Right. But the one he speaks about you know, who he models himself after, it's hard to model yourself after Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon HaNavim, is Rebbe. And therefore, I think it's not accidental that he uses the phrase Mishnah, and he calls it Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says, I'm going to quote this in translation, but the Rambam, in his introduction to the Perush Mishnayah, says that the time came for a holy teacher, peace be upon him, Rabbeinu HaKadosh Olav Vashalom, who was singular in his generation and unique in his time, a man within whom was found all things that were desirable and good attributes, until he merited being called by the people of his generations our holy teacher. And his name was Judah, Yehuda. And he was perfect in his wisdom and exaltedness, and they said from the days of our teacher Moses until Rebbe, we did not find Torah and greatness in our place. That's a Gemara in Gittin. Just think about that phrase, because it'll come into play later on. He was the ultimate in piety, humility, abjuring any pleasures. As they said, when Rebbe died, humility and fear of sin were not to be found. So you see, the Rambam's hero is Rebbe. And prominent among the explicit connections that the Rambam drew between his own work and Rebbe's was style. The Rambam expressed his admiration for Rebbe's clarity in the introduction, again, to the Perush Mishnah, to the commentary on the Mishnah, and he writes, his eloquence, this is the Rambam, his eloquence and facility in the Hebrew language exceeded all others to the point that the Rambam would learn the meaning of biblical phrases which they had difficulty with from the words of his slaves and servants. In his introduction to the Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam noted that because of the clarity of the Mishnaic Hebrew, he would use only that language in his own work. I also find it advisable not to compare this work to the language of the Holy Scripture, since that sacred language is too limited for us today to write the whole complex of the law in it, nor would I compose it in the language of the Talmud, since only a few individuals among us understand it today, and the erudite in the Talmud find many of the words foreign and remote. Instead, I would compose it in the language of the Mishnah so that it would be readily understood by most of the people. And also the Rambam, when he speaks about how he was thinking, which he didn't ultimately do, how he would organize this great work, he says, initially he thought he would organize it similarly to the way Rebbe organized the Mishnah. And again he says, I began thinking about how the division of this work and the arrangement of the parts were to be done. This is in the Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka, in the Mishnah Torah. And I wondered, should I divide it in accordance with the divisions of the Mishnah and follow it in its footsteps, or should I divide it in some other way, arranging the subjects of the beginning or at the end of the work as logic will dictate, since this is the proper and easy way for learning. But Rebbe's influence, Yehuda Hanasi's influence on the Rambam wasn't limited only to style, but also the other thing that was so audacious about the Rambam, when he wrote the Yad HaChazaka, he doesn't write the halachas, he determines the definitive halacha, but there's no attribution. And many contemporaries of the Rambam criticized him about this. And the Rambam there was a prominent Shoifut at the time in Alexandria, with Pinchas ben Meshulam, again a contemporary of the Rambam, who objected in a letter to the Rambam that he excludes all the names of who he's basing this psak on. And the Rambam offered a lengthy discussion about the difference in the methodology of the Mishnah and that of the Talmud. a distinction between a chibur and a monolithic code and a perush, a commentary. The Mishnah Torah, he said, was modeled after the method of the Mishnah, of a chibur, in response to Reb Chinitza's concern that the authors of the particular opinions would be forgotten. The Rambam explains at some length, I'm going to just shorten it, he says essentially that Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnah, redacted the Mishnah, he doesn't always quote or cite the opinions about, in terms of the different machloks, and the which way that you can see that the Mishnah will sometimes paskin, a Stam Mishnah. Many of the Tanoim are not mentioned, and even these Tanoim who are mentioned after their Masorah is based on another Masorah about another Masorah, going back, as the Rambam says, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, he's following this respect, Rebbe as well. So in both style, organization, and language, the Rambam followed in the way of Rebbe. And then, he, in terms of explaining why he's writing this volume at this time, he said also he's following Rebbe. After all, Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi, what he did was absolutely revolutionary, because the Torah was supposed to be a Torah should be al peh. He was the first to write the Torah should be al peh down. Eis lasos l'Hashem hefer to esecha, because he saw it was a time of great dislocation and tension, and therefore, as the Rambam writes, because he saw, this is again in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, because he saw that the number of students was continuing to go down, calamities were continuing happening, the wicked government, Malchus Hashem, in other words, Rome, was extending its domain, increasing in power, and the Jews were wandering and emigrating to remote places, he thus wrote a work to serve as a handbook for all, so it could be rapidly studied and would not be forgotten. And then the Rambam goes on to paint that we live in a similar, in the contemporary time of the Rambam, similar situation where severe troubles prevail and we're in times of distress. And therefore I, Moshe ben Maimon, have decided to codify the halachas and relying on Hashem. In other words, this, what the Rambam did, both in style, organization, and in purpose, was equivalent to his great hero, Rebbe. So therefore, the Rambam, I think, coming back just to the name, that he calls it Mishnah Torah, is because it's also, the word Mishnah appears. There is, I think, another reason why the Rambam, though he doesn't say it explicitly, in the phrase Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah, we know, in our parlance, means, when we speak about Mishnah Torah and Chazal, they're speaking about Sefer Devarim. But in the Torah, when the Torah uses the phrase Mishnah Torah, what is it referring to? To what? Sefer the Melech, exactly, because the Torah tells us that the Melech, the king, has to write a separate Sefer Torah. Every Jew should write one, V'kislochem es ha'shira azos. The Melech, the king of Israel, has to write a second. And and therefore, because of the Sefer Mishnah Torah azos, that the Mishnah Torah referred to in this verse is the Sefer of the Melech, and the Rambam says the Melech, the king, has to carry this Sefer Torah with him all the time, wherever he's going, and he learns from it. The Rav said that there's a special mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the Melech, because of his responsibilities, he needs guidance from the Torah, and therefore there's a special obligation for the king to write the Mishnah Torah. Matter of fact, the Rav said, quoting a Medrash, the Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that when when Hashem appeared to Yoshua, he found him, namely Yoshua, with the Mishneh Torah in his hand. So the Rav said, what's being referred to, the Mishneh Torah, is this was the sefer of the Melech, because Yoshua had a din of a Melech. Right? We learn many of the lochas of Melech from Yoshua. So the Mishneh Torah referred to is that of the Melech. And so, you know, I think I might have heard this from the Rav once. When the Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazakah, he thought of it as the constitution of the Jewish people. When the Melech HaMashiach will come and we will be completely sovereign in our land, the constitution, that's what the Rambam was thinking about. This will be the constitution of the Jewish people. That's why he called it in reference to the, you know, many of the commentaries of the Rambam maybe saw this, you know, the Mishnah LaMelech, because they saw within it also the Rambam's allusion to the Mishneh Torah of the Melech. And I'll just conclude with one other reason why I think he called, why the reference is to Mishneh Torah, to Sefer Devarim, because Sefer Devarim, we know that Sefer Devarim may be different than the other four Chumashim. Sefer Devarim is the last that was written, or is the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So Moshe Rabbeinu speaks as he's about to depart to the Jewish people, this long soliloquy, which is Mishneh Torah. But Mishneh Torah, the Gemara tells us that as opposed to the Tochacha in Sefer Yikra, and that in Mishneh Torah in Kisavo, that Moshe mipi atzmo amar, that Moshe said it on his own, and it sounds that there was somehow, the Ramban points this out, Vilna Gaon says it as well, that there was Moshe played in the Nevuah, when God spoke to Moshe, it was Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shechina Mades Mitoch Krono, but there is an element of Moshe himself, in his own words, of course being inspired by Ruach HaKodesh, by Nevuah, not just Ruach HaKodesh, to write the Mishneh Torah, but Moshe he himself, his personality, is playing a role in this. That's what Chazal mean, Moshe mipi atzmo amro, and somehow Mishneh Torah, the Rav said, is the transition between Torah shebiksav and Torah shebialpeh. I once told the Rav, you know, that there's a minhag based on a Zohar not to study Torah shebiksav at night. Some don't say Tillim at night, but many have in the communities we have on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, they read Sefer Devarim at night. So I thought it might be related to what the Rav said, because there's an element of this transition between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebialpeh in Sefer Devarim. And the Rambam, writing his great work, the Mishneh Torah, also saw it as a transition between the Torah Shebiksav, so to speak, the Talmud and what was before, and his new work, the Mishneh Torah. So as I conclude, you know, when we think about the Rav, you know, of course, and his absolute dedication, this was a family tradition, devotion to the Rambam, it was this remarkable historic breakthrough which the Rambam accomplished, that the Rav devoted his life, not just in terms of explicating and explaining the Rambam, but assuring this transition from the door before, the Masorah that he had, that glorious Masorah, to future generations. He's a problem.